Welcome back to Dead Owatara. Thanks to Harry Rice and Ellen John Rice, our previous guests, who are addressing their desire to be on council again and for the first time, and also for the again category, Gusana Hawaii Sky Deer, but in a new position. And she joins us in studio now. Nyawa, for being here. Good to see you again.
Okay, Nyawa Paul, and Nyawa Zawagwego, Ziza Wadahusa Dade, Uwa Munizarade. So, the Niat Maharu, Gasana Hawaii Sky Deer Yajats, Wagatahuni Niwagita Roda, Kayeri Niwasa Aska, Nada Wago Seriago, Agetni Staha, Jawan, Gasana Hawaii Sky, Yudajats, Dano Raganiha, Ne Kevin Ganasohun Deer Wyatts. So, Konekne the Wagdahanzonia Giro Tokara Nigawan again, Unguhuaneha, Nezi Guahiga, Ziori Hawana, Ziaguego as a Watun again, Unguwana. So, Nyawa.
So you've presented yourself, from what I understood.
Yep.
Most everybody, I think, knows you in the community. Did you want to leave it just in Gunyagehe, or you want to do it in English as well?
No, I think, you know, as we start to reclaim our language in this community, I mean, the introductions are pretty basic in terms of who my mother, who my father is, that I'm Wolf Clan. And yeah, so it's important that people hear our language because it's still here. It's very important, you know, that we come from that space and that place of who we are as Ganyagahaga people. And that's what I bring every day into the way I do my work. I think identity into governance is very important because, you know, the way we present ourselves, the way we carry ourselves to the community, to people on the outside, it's very important that they see the distinction that as Ganyagahaga people, we're still here. We still have our language, our identity, our clothing, ceremonies, everything that makes us distinct. And that's the way I bring, you know, myself into the job.
Okay. Why are you running now after serving on council as an elected official as the head of the council?
Well, for 12 years, that's as long as I've been on council. I was 29 years old when I first ran. So basically, my entire 30s has been dedicated to doing this work, trying to make changes, seeing the system that we're in and what's working and what's not working. And that whole governance project, you know, was partly some of the work that I spearheaded to say, we have to change the way we're doing things. It's not working. You know, the community is polarized. There's lack of trust. There's all these issues that we have, but it all starts at the top with the leadership, with the governance, with the structure. And we know that the elected system that we're in right now is not reflective of who we are. Is Ganyagahaga people, is Rudenasuni people. So it's up to us to change how we're doing things. And that's part of why I want to be the next Ohondo Ia de Nera Dizahayas, to change the way we're approaching the people, the collective, the voices of our community. That's where our strength lies. It's not a top-down approach that has been, I guess, influenced and incorporated into our community from these colonial structures, Indian Act, and so forth. So the only way that I feel our community is going to grow from where we are right now, which I honestly say our community is in a funk. We're not in a good place spiritually, emotionally, with all the things that have, you know, come to the surface, I'll say. You know, those mass graves recently, I think, has angered, saddened, inspired people to say, well, what are we going to do? We have a short time frame here on this earth for us to make a change. And everybody talks about the principles, seven generations looking out for the future. Well, what I'm going to do is make a call out to our community to say, what are we as individuals going to do to change the way we're living right now, to make those changes for our future? You know, we see all these young up-and-coming children. We want them to know who they are. We want them to be strong in their identity. We want them to be strong in the community, in the fabric, and feeling that they're a part of something and that we have a responsibility and that we could do things together. Like, I don't think getting into this position that I'm going to save the town, believe me. But what I do feel that I could do is inspire, and influence us to think differently and to try to change the way we're doing things.
How do you do that at the top of the MCK? Because, as you said, it's a colonial structure, essentially,
yep.
Right? So you get in there. How do you actually make it so that it becomes more of a traditional government?
So first of all, I think the work that's being done right now to get people to try to have some trust in the leadership, you know, of the MCK. We just passed the code of conduct. We have all this governance work so that people can see the accountability and the transparency. That's been, you know, key words that have been thrown around because people don't know what we do. They don't trust. So how can we do things in a way that we can build trust? And I think it all starts with those foundations being implemented. Then we got to start doing meetings differently. And I think I mentioned this on the grand debate, like one of the first things I want to do is have a big women's meeting because women, and that's why I can't help, you know, I know people will say, oh, she's all just about language and culture. You know, there's all these other issues in the community. But I believe that if we bring principles from our identity as Ganyagahaga people, as Ungwehunwe people, a lot of these issues will eventually work themselves out as we start to build that trust. So having this women's meeting, in my mind, what are the three main issues? I know you've been asking the candidates, and you'll get a variety of opinions. You know, people have been texting me and messaging me and saying, you know, it's this, it's this, it's that. So everybody has, depending on who they are, what's important to them. But if we could highlight, okay, what are the three main issues that are affecting and plaguing this community right now? And what could we do to start putting in a plan to address them? That's what I think we need to do. And it can't be from the top down and dictating to the community, well, this is what we're going to do. This is the plan. This is the strategy. It's got to come from the grassroots.
If memory serves, not that long ago, there were a couple of women's meetings.
Yeah, when we were going through all of the train blockade issue mm-hmm. there last year. And that was the first time, like even when we had that big meeting at the Knights of Columbus and all the people were there and we were in a circle. I think that was the first time we ever had an MCK meeting where I said, we're not sitting as the 12 in the front and it looks like this adversary kind of setup. We're going to sit in a circle because that's culturally the way we would, you know, build these conversations and dialogues. And when we did that, I don't know, I felt something in that meeting that I haven't felt in a long time in terms of pride, a sense of, you know, like strength and invigorating through who we were and what we were going to do because we were facing the potential of, you know, SQ coming in here and enforcing that, injunction. So, you know, going to the fires and hearing from the people and I don't know, I knew at some point that the way we're doing business today as the MCK is not the way of the future. And I seen glimpses of what we can do when we start to have dialogue together and we put our collective minds together to try to address our issues as a community.
Talk about some of the files that you have worked on that have been, in your view, successful, completed, not exactly completed, but certainly on the right track.
Okay, so when you talk about governance, it actually comes from ancient Greek word meaning to steer the ship. And I like to use analogies sometimes, you know, like people will say, oh, you're in the ship, right? The elected system is in our way. Well, I'm the one trying to steer people in the ship back to the canoe. And once we're in that canoe and using the things that are, you know, ingrained in our identity and from that, well, who is the we? Who has a right to make decisions in this community, which all stems back to our Ganyagahaga of Ganawage Law, formerly known as membership, which we know membership as a terminology. We're not a club here. But when you look at people, you know, how do you know that they're a part of the we? Because we have people in this community that aren't necessarily Ungwehunwe, but they've become part of the fabric of our community. And in the past, you know, these issues have become at the forefront. We've had lawsuits, we've had challenges and so forth. And what people don't understand is it's not about racism. You know, like what we're trying to do here, because of all these experiences we've had, right, of attempted genocide, assimilation, like this is all we have left. And when we want to fight for it and we want to have a collective mentality, you don't understand that having non-Indigenous people who don't think like us, who don't come from the same governing structures, who will come with this aura of like my rights, individual rights, trumps collective rights, which goes against the way we philosophically think as Ungwehungwe people. So it tends to upset the peace of the way what we're trying to do. And it was very difficult, you know, going through those challenges of shouldering that work. Because then I'm deemed as, oh, look, she's one of those racist ones that wants all the non-Native people out of the community. But, you know, the marching orders come from the people. This has been a longstanding matter. It's finally addressed. We have our KKL, Kanyagahaga of Ganawage Law, that's functioning. The next component is residency. Who is allowed to live here? So those are just some components. Obviously, I've been working on language and culture. You know, there's a lot of programs in the community that will help people to get back, you know, their knowledge of who we are, because it's nobody's fault, you know. And I last Monday or 2 weeks ago, when I went to the tobacco burning at the church for the release of the shoes and calling the spirits of those children, it was very sad to see grown women cry, saying that they feel that because of their religion, that they're a traitor to their people. And I said, you know, you can't think like that, because nobody has asked for this to happen to us. And the only way that we're going to move forward is to show the outside that they didn't win. We as Ungwehungwe are still here. We still have our language. We still have our culture. But there are some people that are lost, and we're going to help them, you know, to find back that way so that our future generations can be proud, and we can show them that where we've been, what we've come through, and we persevered, you know. So all of these components are the things that I've worked on. I know, like I said, there's so many issues in the community. Housing is a major issue right now. And it's unfortunate that because, you know, the MCK is perceived as this external entity, you're the arm of the federal government, you're sellouts, you're traitors, you're blah, blah, blah. We've heard all the rhetoric that as when we try to help people, right, we're trying to create all these housing programs and so forth, people don't pay. Every month, $100,000 of unpaid rents are not collected. And this was happening before COVID. So you think we're going to build way more houses only to keep having the same thing happen? Housing needs to get out of the MCK. We need a housing authority that's by either private people or a housing board. Because you know what's going to happen if the MCK evicts people for not paying their rent? Oh my God, we're going to have a war on our hands. So somehow we need to do housing. I'm not going to dispute that. We do have a budget, but we need a plan. We need to have a plan to do small housing for single people, housing for students, housing for elders. But we need to figure out how we're going to do it and to ensure that people are holding up their end of the bargain. It's not the MCK's money. It's the community's money. We're administrators, you know. So I don't know if a lot of people know this, but that's what's happening. So it is a major issue. So we got to figure out how we're going to overcome it.
Gus, we have about a minute left. Are there any files where you have faced challenges that haven't turned out as successfully as you would like, that have been somewhat unsuccessful, and why?
No, I don't think unsuccessful. I mean, if anybody's been in politics, you know, it's slow as molasses. And as much as we want to try to get stuff done quickly, you know, we're constantly bombarded. It's always fire and a new community thing that's popping up. So in terms of focusing, you have to be all across the board. So I think it's important, you know, that when we align ourselves to the portfolios that we're passionate about, that we start engaging and bringing people in. Because like I said, there's so many people in this community who have amazing ideas Like I said, people have been writing me and how we're going to trickle down these great ideas to address our concerns is what I'm very interested in hearing and engaging with the people and pulling from them. So, you know, as Alan John said, that community vision statement, that's the direction we got to go. That's our marching orders.
15 seconds to say, Ona.
Okay, so Nyauko is a Wagwego, Giga Asa Siskare ne Ohiri Gowa, Kasanahoe Sky Deer ne Ohondo Iade ne Ratizahayas. I want to do this work for you. I want to do it in conjunction and collaboration with you, and we can change the future of Ganawage together. Tony Wanage.
Kasanawa Sky Deer Nyawago for being with us, running one of five candidates for the position of Grand Chief in Gapawage. Whoa, I turned that up too soon. Best of luck in the July 3rd election. Our thanks to Harry Rice and Alan John Rice, who also joined us on Dede Watara today. Kenneth Deer will be in this chair tomorrow. Have a great day. News is next with Jeremy Zaffron, and followed by the 1 o'clock jump and Susie D on Gapawage's K1037.